All right, this is the afterburn. So if anybody got any comments or questions, yes, there will be another part. I don't know if it'll be the next time I speak. But if you got any comments or questions about this teaching, you have one. Okay. Oh, thank you. Seamus Rob said he has one. No way. No way Miss Janet got up. No, I'm kidding. I saw somebody in the store. They were part of M2OY, but I saw them in the store, a place I'm not used to seeing them. Did I say this is the afterburn? I did? Okay, good. And I saw them in the store, and they came up to me saying, "You're famous." I was like, "Well, let me leave now, because I don't." I said, "What do you mean I'm famous? I see you on TV." I was like, "But I know who you are. You're part of M2OY. Sometimes we forget, especially when you get up to the mic. People know who Miss Janet is. They know who Ashley is. They know who the people they see all the time. They know who Mercy is. I'm like, what? I'm all the way in New Jersey. Somebody knew who Mercy was. They're talking in Spanish. Mercy? I think that means they know who she was. No, I don't know. We're going to let Seamus Rob make his way around. He was first.
Okay, just see if I got this right. You know, so wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Do we go kind of reverse? I just went back to Exodus 31 when I think Dale Taylor brought that up about, was it Uri, about he was given the wisdom, understanding, knowledge to do all the crafts for the temple. So when we're coming into this, do we do it in reverse? Is, you know, as men or the wife, the husband or the wife, do we fill ourselves with the knowledge of what we need to do, and then understand why we're doing that, and then have the wisdom to apply it to the marriage itself? Is that a good way to see that, or is that?
I don't see it that way, simply because we weren't taught how to see it that way. That would be something that we taught. I mean, we actually learned that being a part of this ministry. At least I did. I'm sure you as well. So the way that we learn it now, being in the midst of a marriage, and usually if it's a building block successful marriage, that means at some point our marriage has not been successful at some point. Nobody had a perfect marriage, right? So in order to fix it, the knowledge that you need is how to go about it, which is to observe. Through observing, you ask all the questions. Are you communicating? Do you have respect? Are you doing with trust? Are you supporting her? Everything that you see in finding out, because she can tell you. This is something that men sleep on all the time. You want to know how to please your wife? Just ask her. She will tell you. She has no problem telling you. We just special as men because we think we knew everything because we got forearms and they like that and all that good stuff that women like. We just so superficial. But we ask a woman what she wants. She will tell you. Men, take notes. She will tell you how to please her, how to love her, how to hold her, how to wake her up, how to roll her over, how to rub her feet, how to rub her back. She will tell you everything. All you got to do is ask her. So we need to observe and take notes. We need to be taking notes. Okay. And usually we don't start observing until something goes wrong in the marriage. Then all of a sudden we brought to the attention that it's something we should want to fix, hopefully. And even if we don't want to fix it and it can't fix that marriage, maybe it'll fix the next relationship we get into. We might need to be observing. Okay, so this did that. That's how you gain wisdom, by watching. So I'm getting wisdom by watching. I'm getting understanding because now I understand through wisdom and observing that this thing is going to cause this thing to happen. So if I talk to her after she just got finished eating that extra piece of cake and use the word F-A-T, I'm going to get hit. By accident, because she's just going to throw it, intending to hit me with every pot that she threw. But I opened the door. I wasn't observing. I didn't learn no lesson from the last time I talked about her while she was eating. I'm making it funny for you to get the point. Remember, she's going to tell you everything she wants. I remember, okay, I'm going to tell on myself. I'm going to tell on myself. I was getting ready, preparing. We had rented a hotel when I was pastoring. I prepared to go out of, you know, and go teach. And that particular day, I was taking some Tramadol for my back. My back was hurting at the time. I was taking Tramadol. And so I was a little loopy on Tramadol. And so my wife told me, she said, she has an issue with being teased, okay? Now, hopefully y'all listening, observing and taking notes. Don't take nothing I say and go do that to her and get hit in your eye. It's your fault, because I done told y'all now, don't tease her. She don't like that. Now, I grew up, brothers and sisters, we tease each other. My wife don't like, she don't like being teased. She will pop you upside your head. And so I was teasing her, and she told me don't tease her. She gave me fair warning. Don't tease me. It was early in the marriage. I say that because we've come a long way. And I went on to tease her again, and she threw that can of Coke. She had a can of Coke in her hand. She threw that thing across the room. And good thing I moved, because it probably was going to hit me. But she threw that can of Coke, and I learned at that moment, I said, babe, look. Now, most men argued and had a fit. What the heck wrong with you? I said, look, I'm sorry. I know I didn't cross the line. I apologize. I ain't going to never tease you again. At least I'm going to work real hard not to tease you again. Ever call your name. But you get the point. So you need to observe so you can learn. You can't learn without observing. Unless you go communicate and ask the question, how do I do this to make you happy? What is it that you need? When we went over the four questions, whatever part, I think it was part two, one of the questions was, am I giving you what you need? We're not asking our spouses that question. My wife, I can't remember the last time before we went to bed, she said, is there anything I can do for you? That's a life changer. And I ain't being dirty either, because it ain't always that. Somebody grinning. I see them grinning all over the place. But you know what I mean. But you observe, learn, and report, and adjust. But it comes through communicating. We don't communicate a lot. We was all dirty communicating before we got married. Now we got married, and we don't know how to communicate no more. Tell me exactly what you want. Tell me exactly what you want so I can take notes. So I can learn. So I can understand. So I can make you happy. So I can be support to you. Amen? Does that make sense?
So you're saying, but you got to be willing and open to receive the answer. I mean, you may not be exactly what you think, but don't get mad about what she's saying. And it's just something else that, you know, from our you know, we've counseled with you guys before, but was, you know, I've always thought that I tried to do everything to make her happy. It's just what I just do things to please her. And then, you know, I observe the reward on that.
It's, right.
It's right. Not to make her happy, it's to please her. What pleases her?
So. Right. What does she want? How to make her happy? She's going to tell you if you ask her. And just do it. She'll be the happiest goosebump you ever seen.
Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome. Amen. All right, Miss Linda. Well, she got a whole notepad.
Shabbat shalom. I have to write it down or I forget. I'm old. But I'm absolutely thrilled that recently, in the last couple of months or whatever, everything ties together. Rabbi's been talking to us about good and trustworthy servant and leveling up and assessing and improving ourselves. And then you're talking about marriage, how to, you know, and it all fits together. And that's just amazing in itself, that everything just ties together and we get the whole story. But
and a little extra.
Yeah, a little extra. So in the good and trustworthy servant, to me, it's like, I want to hear those words. I want to get to that door, and those are the words I want to hear. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. And if that's our goal, even though we don't know what the reward is, we know it's got to be something better than our thinking can imagine.
Amen.
You know, it's got to be worth it.
Amen.
And that's the goal for everyone. Then we have to strive with all we have to become all that we can be. And marriage is one of the ways to do that. To me, it symbolizes it's 365 days a year, it's 7 days a week, it's every hour of the day, it's intense. What better way is there to self-improve?
I mean.
You know, not right. The other person, but you right. To improve. So that you can become like Yeshua.
I mean.
And so it all ties together there. But years and years ago, a young minister starting out, you think about these 25-year-olds, they don't know anything yet.
Nope.
But this young man had a piece of wisdom that I've thought about all these years, and I think it's wise, really wise. He would ask this first question of people who thought they wanted to get married. He would say, can the two of you together better serve the Father then you can, each of you can alone. And I thought about that a lot. And I added, can the two of you together better serve the body than each of you can separately?
Amen.
You know, because that's what it's all about. And I just, you know, whether we're single or whether we're married, it doesn't matter. We can serve. But it seems like marriage is the best way or the most intense way that you can become like Yeshua.
Amen.
So I'm just glad to have all that come together. And
amen.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Miss Jana.
That was really good, Elder. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For your teaching. It's really awesome. So I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying about the servant heart of the husband, wife, husband, right? This week, I usually, when I get sick, it just comes and goes very fast. But this time, there were 2 days that I was really, really down. And so I remember Monday. I asked my husband, I actually told him, I know you're probably not going to like what I'm going to tell you, but will you consider staying a few more days or a week? Because I wasn't feeling good at all. And I remember he looked at me and he immediately took his phone and texted his boss and asked him, because he was supposed to return Monday. It was already 3 weeks here. And usually we don't get to have him so long, because most of the time he spends he's doing what he's supposed to do in Texas, right? Amen. And we get him every 1 week at a time. So he just immediately did it, you know? So when he did that, and then the boss replied the next day, he's got a lot of favor, so he said, of course, family's first and all that, right? If she's doing well by the weekend, then come back that day. If not, you know, let me know. So they were really accommodating. But I just appreciated how much support I got from him, right? Because I typically don't ask a whole lot, because I tend to be very independent. And I tend to just do things and go. That time I did ask him because I needed it. I needed him. And he said, he just hit himself right away, you know? And so I just wanted to share that because, yes, there are bad marriages out there, but I get to see a lot of very, very beautiful marriages. Amen. And I've seen the transformation in my marriage. Amen. And I've seen that whenever there is a good marriage, the husbands truly, truly want to make their wives happy. They truly do, and they want to do anything. They would do anything. They would just do anything for them. And that's a big praise for those good husbands. Because I know there's some bad husbands too, okay? I'm not want to talk about them. I want to talk about the good ones. I want to talk about the good ones and encourage the ones who are searching or whatever, you know, whatever you call vetting. Mm-hmm. That to believe that that's very possible.
Amen.
You know, and my husband is a very good husband. Praise Yah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. But I have to say this. We were not like this 20 years ago when we got married. Wow. Right? We were in the world. You know, we just did what the world did.
Right.
We did our vows and it was a good, I guess, exchange ceremony, whatever you want to call it, but we had no clue. Mm-hmm. We had no clue. And I get to counsel a lot of the young couples, like how we started. Mm-hmm. A lot of my couples, I do a lot more marriage counseling than anything now.
Wow.
And a lot of them are in maybe the early 30s or so. So I'm 20 years older than them. Mm-hmm. But I get to see I get to see the mistakes that I was making.
Amen.
Because there is a verse that I know it in Spanish. I don't know how to translate it in English, but I remember that verse resonated with me so much when I started doing Bible studies 15 years ago. But it says something like it talks about the wise woman, how she builds her house, but the foolish one with her own hands, she brings it to ruin, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's exactly how it translates, but
that's good.
I really believe that we as women, we really have a lot a lot in the building, in the making of this marriage, you know, the successful marriage that we want to build. And if we were to communicate with respect what we need, the husband will willingly give us much more, even much more than that.
Amen.
Don't you agree with that?
Amen. Absolutely.
Yes. So, and I see that, and the more I'm changing how I'm approaching my husband, the more I'm getting. Amen. And it's such a beautiful, opportunity. Linda was saying 365 days. We don't get that in our marriage because we have been on and off for the last year and a half separated and together, separated and together. But I have to say this, we have learned so much through that because now that we come together, this is what we have. Amen. And we want to make the best of it.
Amen.
You know, and not waste
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
Why would you waste time? And anyway, I could talk a lot about marriage because I just believe in marriage. You know, I believe that this is such a strong ministry that we can actually embrace with, if we embrace with humility and, Amen. You know, thinking about how to transform, how to work on ourselves.
Amen.
Like you said, too, against the world, you know,
Amen.
We're
Amen.
Unstoppable. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage women and men, too, who are single, that there is a possibility to find that good person. And if, you know, if you find and if you vet and if you believe, you can have a very good marriage.
Amen. Thank Amen. Thank you so much. It's awesome. There's a saying I used to say back in the day, and that is favor isn't fair. A lot of people want, it ain't. But when you do the best that you can and you've done everything that you can do and Abba blesses you, shows you his favor, right? Somebody gonna look at you and think it's not fair, but they haven't gone through what you've gone through to get what you've got. They just want the result without putting in the work. But Abba's given all of us an opportunity to walk this out as best we can with leadership and guidance. We have it, we read about it. Get wise guidance. It didn't say get any guidance, girlfriend guidance, boyfriend guidance, it says get wise guidance. And Abba has put that structure here in M2OY, and I haven't seen it anywhere that you can come and get wise guidance. And Rabbi's not hogging it all to himself either. He shares the he shares the counseling load, and we all learn from each other, and we all see the benefit of lives changing through the work of this ministry. So praise Abba for that. Miss Betty.
You had praised earlier stay-at-home moms, those who stay at home, help raise their children, support their husbands as they go to work, homeschool their kids. One of the things for me, because that's what I did, and when this incident happened with my knee, I know I'm frustrating my husband because he now wants to take care of me. But I told him the other day, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be taking care of you. Wow. I'm the caregiver. Wow. I'm not supposed to be taken care of. I'm supposed to be taking care of you. And so I think as women, we need to learn how to be taken care of sometimes.
Amen.
Because it's not easy. You can ask him. I'm driving him nuts.
But he's doing an amazing job. He's doing an amazing job. I see him helping you, and it's fantastic to see. Awesome. Live stream, if you got any questions, you got anything that you can squeeze in real quick? We got a minute.
We have just, one question.
Okay, there you go.
But we looked at the verse that Janet was referring to is Proverbs 14:1.
Okay.
What's that? Okay, Charles and Tiffany Baines says, thank you, Elder. Question, any tips or suggestions on how to focus on just your part rather than being critical of your partner's behavior, or is it a discipline issue? As a husband, is it my responsibility to correct my wife respectfully when it comes to accomplishing the steps/goals necessary to attain the quote-unquote vision we have for our family's future?
I listen, I'm reading. I like the part, correct my wife respectfully. I think we missed the part. We want to correct our wives when it comes to accomplishing the steps and goals necessary to attain the vision that they have for their family. Rabbi always says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So the respect part, the correction part, I think it's a conversation. I don't want to neglect the correct part But I'm very careful not to correct my wife in certain situations. When it comes to me and her and the vision we have for our house, we come to an agreement. We negotiate. We set expectation. What is your expectation? What is your thoughts? For instance, great example. We were trying to decide what level we were going to do for the giving campaign. So I had a number. I didn't really have a number. I had an idea. And I want to know what her number was, what her idea was. So I didn't correct her when she came and her number was actually higher than the number I thought of initially. And then my number, when I actually decided a number, was higher than her number. But we had a conversation and came to agreement. I wouldn't necessarily call it correction. You correct children. So I don't. Some people get carried away when you use that. I'm going to correct my husband. I'm going to correct my wife. No. You can have a conversation. I like the respect part, but take the correct part out. I can have a conversation respectfully with my wife and come to an understanding of how we're going to walk together to attain the vision that we have for our house. But it's not going to be, I'm not going to do the whole lot. I correct my kids. Now, I may say to my wife, you know, I really didn't like the way you said that. That really rubbed me the wrong way. I would prefer you to do it this way. Or she may say the same thing to me. I prefer if you have something in regard to that, because it may be a topic that's going to set her off. Be respectful. All we want to do, women, is make you happy. They're simple for men. All we want to do is make you happy. We can't make you happy if you don't you don't help us out. You got to do your part to help out the process. You got to communicate. All right? We're very supportive. If you communicate, that's what you need. We will bend over backwards. You heard Ms. Janet say it. I can tell you myself. We'll bend over backwards. We'll apologize when it ain't our fault. We'll go above and beyond, whatever it takes to bring peace. But I would take the correct part out of that. You said that was the only one you had? Wow. All right. Well, Rabbi's here.
All right. All right. Thank you, Elder Billy. You're welcome. All right. So I can't resist that. I happen to come out here for the last one there. Look, this correction thing, okay, that was the last question. There's got to first be, are you on the same page? In other words, you said in the, whoever wrote that said, you know, correction about the direction that we are taking our family. Okay, but is the we in agreement about the direction? All right? Because if the we is not in agreement, you have a problem. The correction's not the problem yet. The problem is being in the same, on the same page, going in the same direction. Okay? So the we can't be, well, I'm in charge, I'm the man, and you just have to do whatever I say. That's not walking in agreement. All right? Look, I have, literally, in every aspect of my life, I'm in charge. I'm just very blessed to have that and also very challenged to have that, right? I'm the head of this ministry. I'm the head of my family, right? I don't have, but you know what I do have? I have a responsibility to bring those that I have authority over into agreement, all right? So when there's a decision, for example, in the leadership meetings, and we do have decisions that come up, if I make a decision, part of my, the responsibility is mine. We don't vote, okay? The decision's mine. But my responsibility also is to bring consensus, is to help to make sure that everyone understands why that's the right decision or the decision that I'm going to make at the moment. And bring, so if people are not in agreement, I don't just say, well, it's too bad, I'm in charge. See, guys, you can't do that. What you have to do is now find a way to bring the other person, in this case your wife, to the place where she can see why this decision makes sense or why it's the right decision, why it's necessary or whatever, okay? So you may not be in agreement in your vision that you say, well, we have a vision. No, you have a vision. She needs to be on the same page. Now, let's say you do both agree to the vision and then she now does something that clearly, at least to you, is undermining or pulling away from that vision, then that may be a corrective moment where but you have to do it in a way that this is your wife. And say, sweetheart, remember we talked about this with the children or this with the budget or this with whatever, and we agreed to this. Well, what you just did or what you're planning to do doesn't fit that, and I want to talk to you about that, and that's corrective. Now, here's part of the problem. we generally have a hard time being correctable. Okay? Because we will almost always throw up the defense and go on the attack. So first we get defensive and then we attack. All right? You know what they say, the best defense is a good offense. Well, that's what we do. When we get defensive, we throw the offense out there. So let's be careful with that. Okay? Ladies, part of the man's role is, now guys, don't take this wrong, you're mostly not qualified. But your role is supposed to be to help them become the most they, the best they, the highest level they can achieve. So there may be a moment where your wife is doing something that is beneath where she should be or could be as a person. You may well say, you know what? I want to encourage you correctively to raise that game. In other words, they may be acting in some way or saying certain things about other people, whatever it is. And you say, you know what? I think you're better than that. And that's an encouragement, but it's a correction. Okay, encouraging them. This is what you do with your children too, right? Hey, you guys, you're better than that. You don't need to lower yourself to that place. Well, men may do that with their wives too, but ladies, you may want to do that with your men too. Look, guys, don't correct your wives for stuff you do. Okay, don't be in hypocrisy. Don't be doing all that. But understand that there is an aspect of that leadership where if I do have a vision and you are my wife and we're heading in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden you want to make a left or a right turn, I have the authority to say, no, we're not doing that. We have a direction. Now, of course, I have to then reestablish so that we're on the same page, bring her back to remember what we talked about, why we're doing it. Don't just say, well, no, I said no, and that's no. No, somehow her vision got a little bit confused or something, and you need to bring it back. Because often enough, those of us who are dealing with something immediately will miss the bigger picture that we agreed to earlier. And the immediate is now all we can think about. And that's where you say something like, look, I know you feel like this is what we need to do right now because of blah, 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 but it doesn't fit into what we all already agreed, big picture-wise, we're going to do. All right? You have to be on that way. Guys, never, ladies too, nobody wants a boss. We don't even want one when we go to our job. Why would you want one in the house? Okay, ladies, you're just as guilty as any guy in being in the boss role. All right? Both sides of this equation have to stop bossing. You have authority, men. You're not the boss. You're the leader. There's a difference. Okay? Ladies, just because he's trying to lead, don't all of a sudden automatically just accuse him of being the boss. He may be, he may not be. Think about it first. He does have authority. If you didn't like that idea, you shouldn't have married him. Okay? Marriage is an actual established structure. You can't just do it any which way and think that there is a vertical structure to a marriage. Okay? And guys, please don't wield that authority just in any which way you want, especially if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You have a little bit more of a ground to stand on if you're providing and making the money and taking care of things and everybody's safe and everybody has what they need. Yeah, then you have a strong ground to stand on. Okay, but a lot of you that come into counseling or your wives come into counseling over the years, their husbands aren't doing any of that stuff, but they're wielding that. I'm the boss. Nobody wants to be married to the boss. Okay, they want to be married to a husband or a wife. Okay. Just throwing that out there. But correction does come up. But the first thing you may want to correct is that the vision got wobbly. Something got loose in that vision that you need to reestablish. Make sure you're both on the same page. Because the word, the way we agreed, or the vision we have, when you put the word we in there, make sure we is not just you and expecting them to follow. You need to have a conversation with your spouse. Like Elder said he did about the campaign fund, he had to have a conversation with him. Said, look, we are going to make a contribution. I want to make sure that we are on the same page as to what that number should be. And I'm sure if he wanted his number over whatever her number was, he would then have to make a case as to why that would be the right number. He wasn't just going to do her number. He's not just going to do his. If he chooses to do his, then he's going to have to make a case because that's a relationship. Okay? That's the relationship. All right, now, Of course, I do give you a little bit of credit. I didn't discuss it at all with my wife. I just picked the number. But my wife trusts me. So I wasn't worried about the number. Of course, had she... Now, when I said the number, she didn't even blink. But if she had, I would have then had that discussion. Do you understand? That discussion is absolutely available. You understand that, sweetheart, if you want? Okay. So we can have that discussion. But she never... She didn't even have a hesitation with the number I said. Okay? So that being said, she was like, okay, great. All right? But you need to know that there's a... Weird, I guess weird is the right word. It's this unique pairing that you have or relationship that you have where there's a vertical, but you're a partnership, not an equal partnership in terms of there's no voting in this. The husband still has the authority, but husbands, you're going to have a miserable time if you don't find a way to get the partnership for her to feel like a partnership, okay? But ladies... Partnership doesn't mean that you get a say in everything. It means that you have to trust your man to do certain things too. You have to understand there is a vertical to this very unique partnership. All right? Most partnerships you think of as like 50-50, everybody. No, no, no. That's not exactly the way a husband-wife thing works. But guys, unless you want to just be miserable all the time, you might want to find a way to bring her to your side of the equation. Okay? Not by forcing and beating on her, but by helping her understand why it's good to do whatever it is you want to do, why it's the right thing, why it makes sense. But also, by the way, listen to her. She may see something you don't see. It's certainly, if nothing else, you're going to find out from her what bothers, concerns, or scares her so that you can at least address it. So listen to the concern. Even though it may not be a rational concern, or just say, I get it. Whatever it is going on made you nervous. Let me reestablish your security and safety, and we can then move forward. Does that make sense? All right? So anyway, I'm glad I got to throw that out there. Elder did a really good job of that, but I just wanted to throw that out there. All right. We're going to close up here.